Welcome to Living Life on the Max with Keisha B. Spivey, a weekly podcast that will challenge you and encourage you to live your best life yet. Hello, hello, hello. Welcome back to Living Life on the Max. I'm so glad that me telling my story hasn't run you off yet. You know, a couple sessions ago, we talked about how on my 30th birthday, I started over. I drew a line in the sand and stepped over it and went back to college with three kids, no money, no car, no clue, and started over. I just went for it. I snatched off the labels of defeat and despair and discouragement, and I just said, wait a minute, that's not who I am, and I went for it. I went for it. The last session, I talked about how my going forward called me to a place that I didn't want to go. It took me into a wilderness. It took me into an experience that I didn't sign up for that. But I also understand now how sitting on the other side of it, that God was using every bit of my story for his glory. The good, the bad, the ugly. The pain had purpose. And it's the whole reason that I can sit here today and say, if it had not been for God on my side, where would I be? So yes, I went from college dropout to doctor. And God did it. He did it. But his divine sovereignty could only go as far as I allowed personal responsibility to show up. Because God has done what he said he's going to do. He's finished his work. And he's equipped us and empowered us to do what he's called us to do as only we can do in him and through him. But we have to be willing and we got to show up. I ended our last session talking about me and the kids living in a hotel room. So that's me, three children, and two dogs living in a Candlewood suite. And we made it work for a year. Not a night, not a weekend. No, we lived there for a year. And we turned that place into home. During Christmas, I had up a Christmas tree. I had my bookshelf. You know, I'm one of those women, I don't have a whole lot of shoes and fancy stuff, but I'm a bookwoman. So I had even put in my bookshelf in our hotel room. So when I went in where I studied, when the kids were at school, I had a bookshelf. So I had made it as homey as possible. Pictures, and I dressed it up because it was our home. It was our home. And so Erica came to Rocky Mount, and we were in the hotel. And I was so grateful because God said, you can now move. And so then we prepared to move into our first house here. And actually, we couldn't find a house. And we ended up renting a little bitty three-bedroom trailer. And I remember saying that this is a season while I keep looking. The kids, I didn't even put up the beds because all of our stuff was in storage. So the kids were on their mattresses. I put the mattress on the floor. We're not going to be here long. It was tight. It was old. And the moment I saw the first mouse, I knew I wasn't going to be there long. So that changed that quickly because clearly we were out in the field someplace and there it was a season of we were set the traps and the mice. I was like, no, we got to go. So the mice ran us out of that trailer, but it was our first place. And then through a friend, we ended up renting our first home. So we rented our home here and we were starting our life. At that time, I was pursuing my master's degree and God said to me, there's more. There's more. And so I started a process of being, you know, I had been called into ministry many, many years, but I was attending a church that was Assemblies of God. And I went through the process to be ordained Assemblies of God so that I could be able to be a part of that network and to learn and to get access to some of the things and to the training and things that were available. And so I was out there by myself. So it was really good to be connected to an assembly with other leaders and other pastors. And so I met some people there. And I completed my master's degree. I was actually on my way to get my master's of divinity. And so y'all know I am I'm a sprinter by nature. And so when I found that I could get two degrees for the same amount of time, if I staged my classes a certain way, I could get a master's of Christian leadership and I could get a master's of divinity. I'm like, okay, God says do this. So we are doing it. So through that connection, doors and things began to open. And I just continued to do ministry in the city. And I actually got my Master of Divinity and God said, you know, I wasn't done. And I'm like, okay, Jesus, how much education do I need? He said, I wasn't done. But about that time, I started noticing around our city gaps. You know, I was had served as a youth pastor and had been in the high schools and the middle schools and saw the children struggling and was doing all I could with a cohort of other young youth pastors to work with the children. But I quickly discovered that if the children are getting helped, but the families aren't getting helped, then you have a cycle of repetitiveness, of craziness. There'll be progress. Then there'll be sabotage because the kids can't control where they live. The kids can't control if the utilities are on or if they have food to eat. So it was this cycle that I wanted to get off of. And so fast forward through some events, and I was sitting there on a weekend that was a rough weekend for me. You know, we had my son was in high school at the time, and one of the high school students had committed suicide. It was bad. And so I had spent the last couple days at that school, you know, being a part of the ministry team to be there for the youth. At that same time, there was a drive-by shooting. And at a church here, some kids were playing on the playground and a random drive-by shooting. And I believe two kids were killed. At that same time, I had a cousin to commit suicide. And I was flying out to do their eulogy for the funeral. All of this happened in like a 3-4 day time span. So I was messed up. And I remember another defining moment. Don't be mad at defining moments. Don't be mad at crying out to God. Don't be mad at saying, I don't know what to do here. I need some help. But again, I was in the bathroom with an ugly cry saying, God, how do I encourage the people when I need encouraging? How do I minister to the people when I'm so tore up? How do I keep showing up when I am distraught? And I just began to cry and I began to pour out to God everything that was wrong and the schools and the kids and the suicide and what was happening and everything. And when I finished, the Lord literally began to speak to me again, kind of like that unction I got when I was about to turn 30. And I remember him saying to me, I was looking at it all wrong. He said, Keisha, when you look at all the problems and all the madness in this fallen world, it will literally drown you. And he gave me an image of me standing on the bank of an ocean and you're looking out there and there, as far as you can see, there's water. He says, as I'm looking at the problems, that's what I see. I see an ocean. I can't see to the other side. I don't know where it ends. And that's how I was looking at the problems with the school and the shooting and the funeral. I'm like, God, it's just so much. It's just too hard. And God says, I need you to change your perspective. Instead of looking at the vastness of everything that's out there, I need you to imagine a little stone. And I'm like, okay, God, where are we going with this? And I imagined a stone. He says, now what I want you to do is stand on the bank of that ocean. And all I want you to do is to toss it. I want you to toss it across the water. I want you to toss it in the water. I want you to watch the ripples. You see where the ripples start, but you have no control on where they end. And I remember sitting there and the Lord just began to download things to me about being able to be a change agent in the world, one person at a time. One family at a time, one situation at a time, to stop looking at everything like oceans, but to see myself as a pebble. And when I toss what God gives me, when I throw my heart, when I throw the resources, when I throw the passion and the education and the skills at it that he's deposited on the inside of me, I can make ripples. And from there, Ripple Effects Group, the organization that we founded here in North Carolina, was birthed. The Lord told me to go and get incorporated. I had no clue. All I had was what he gave me. Fill out the paperwork for the state, fill out the paperwork for the federal government, get official. And I did. And then I sat on it. I continued to do the work that God had called me to do. And then I ran across a family that needed shelter. I actually ran across a trailer, reminding me a lot of the ones that Eric and I had lived in with our kids. And there were 14 people living in a 2-bedroom trailer. And when I saw it, I couldn't shake it. I'm like, God, how do I teach young people that you heal, deliver, and set free? And I can't get this child out the floor. We can't provide a home for them. How do I do that? And the Lord says, I'll show you how. And I went home that night, couldn't sleep. And the Lord downloaded a vision of how we could start providing shelter to homeless families. And We just started. We had nothing. We had two kids in college at the time. And God says, I now need you to quit your job. What? Lord, I like to eat. When I hit the switch on the wall, I want the lights to come on. He says, I need you to trust me. So I quit my full-time job in ministry with two kids in college. And I just became a street pastor. I became a community pastor. I started going to the hurting and the broken and to the lost and loving on them. I just began to share the love of Christ right where they were. Instead of inviting them to come to church buildings, I took the church to them. And fast forward, and God blessed us to get house after house after house. And so we ended up with a transitional living program that houses homeless families. And then we ended up with another program, and just through a series of events. And while this was going on, the Lord says, now I need you to go back and get your doctorate. I'm like, Lord, I am still not getting a paycheck. I'm just out here beating the streets. And he says, I am your provision. Trust me. So I started my doctoral process and was excited about it. And then the world flipped upside down. We had a pandemic. And my entire dissertation was literally about creating discipleship models outside of the church building. You know, using a parachurch ministry to fulfill the Great Commission. You know, building a discipleship model that grew people in the things of God. And so then in the midst of this, I'm excited about it. Everything goes on pause. The world flips. We're in the middle of a pandemic. And here I am trying to be faithful to pursue and to do this doctoral program that God has called me to do. And now the thing that I'm writing on has to stop. The world has stopped. Nobody knows how long we're going to be caught up in this thing. Nobody knows what the new normal is going to be. And I remember calling my professor saying, I need to hit pause. I need to take a break because I can't keep writing. I don't have anything to write about because we don't know. And he said, Keisha, you're too far in the program now to stop. If you stop now, you got to start over. He says, what we're going to do is we're going to keep moving forward. I'm going to give you your assignments, and I'm going to give you some things to keep researching, and I want you to keep reading. I want you to keep studying, but you can't go back. So here we are in the middle of a pandemic. I can't go back. I can only go forward, but I don't even know what that looks like. We are running a nonprofit that's serving more people than we've ever served before in our life. The world is on lockdown, and God is still telling me to go forth. I don't even know what tomorrow's going to hold. I don't even know what next year's going to look like. And God's word to me was, Keisha, will you trust me? Will you trust me? So I'm going to close out this session. I got one more segment in this series, but what is it that God has told you to do that you haven't fully trusted him on? What are you looking at and all you can see is the big ocean? And you're not taking personal responsibility and being accountable for the little pebble that God has told you to pick up and toss. What is it? What is it? Because God said to me, trust me. Will you trust me? And all I could utter back was, God, yes, I trust you. I had to take a deep breath in and let one out and say, yes, God, I'll trust you. I don't understand, but I'll trust you. It doesn't make sense. I'll trust you. There's no blueprint. I trust you. And in that, God said, Keisha, I wrote the end of your story before you had a beginning. Will you trust me? We will see this thing through. So hope this has encouraged you. I hope hearing all my business and my stuff is motivating you, because I just happen to believe none of my pain was wasted. Every bit of it's gained for the glory of God. None of my tears are wasted. I walk in triumph because of them. And I believe when your mindset shifts and you start doing the same thing, there's nothing that's stopping you. Whatever the thing that has been a ceiling to you can become your floor when you make your mind up and you realize that retreat is not an option. And no matter what the weapon is that forms against you, you win. I believe there's nothing that you can't do through the power of God. So share this with a friend. Tune in on next week as we conclude this story of how I went from dropout to doctor and how the process was filled with all kinds of crazy. But guess what? It's all worth it. It's all worth it. It's all worth it. Tune in next week. And until then, Do you on mats. God bless.